Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. You are now rocking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. We got Elijah Campbell behind the glass, hitting those switches, making this thing as pretty as possible. This week, Chris Sanders, as always, Forever Titans receiver, comes on. We'll talk some shop there. I have to get his take on Josh Reynolds having been released. And obviously, we'll touch on the Rams game. In addition to that, we got Mike Triplett, ESPN, NFL Nation, Saints reporter, my teammate there. Looking forward to getting into some stuff with him, just talking about this team, man. There's a lot of moving parts right now, a lot of different things going on. Alvin Kamara, Trevor Siemian, you know, we don't know who's going to play quarterback, you know, Odell Beckham Jr., what's going to happen there by the time game day rolls around. So there's a lot that we need to discuss. But I am here to talk to you right now, right now, about this Rams game. And I tell you what, I didn't expect it. I had the Rams winning this game. I thought that it was going to be a tough game for the Titans, but it ended up being a tough one a little bit. But I think when you look at this defense, it was all about the defense, you know, and it was a 3-0 game. But what happened? The front four, and that's where I want to open up with in talking about this game. That front four, whether it's Jeffrey Simmons, Danico Autry, Landry, and Bud Dupree, or you mix in Tyre Tarr, you could mix in Laurel Murchison, you could mix in Naquan Jones. I mean, these guys are playing really good football. And then in that case, on that play, Jeffrey Simmons gets a pressure. Matthew Stafford throws one up. You know, you only live once. It was a YOLO pass, and David Long picks it off. And then the next play, Jeff Swaim, touchdown. And it just seemed like it was on from there. That front four, they blitzed what? The Titans only had to blitz, what, 3 or 4 times? But they pressured Matthew Stafford all game. The stunts, the twists, the things that they were doing. Danico Autry, look, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. In the past 3 years, I think that might be the best free agent signing. Like the Malcolm Butler one was pretty good, right, once he started going. But I think that might be the best free agent signing I've seen since I've been here by John Robinson. And you look at the energy that Autry plays with. I mean, there were a few times where he used that, you know, that stutter step chop to gather all the information, or attention rather, and Simmons looped inside and was able to get the sack. You know, these guys were wrecking havoc up front. Then you got Bud Dupree. You know, there were a couple plays that he made that don't show up in the stat sheet, but they still were good plays, right? His discipline and ability to, as he's engaged with the offensive lineman, to recognize what's happening, right? Backside boots and those type of things, and keep that contained and make the quarterback have to throw the football from a different arm angle. These are things that they are coached to do. Shane Crow, the outside linebackers coach, they literally go through engaging each other and turning, ripping off, and being able to find ways to impact the quarterback. And that's what it's all about. That's why they always say, hey, you know what, you got to impact the quarterback. That's exactly what they're talking about. And that guy, Harold Landry, goodness gracious, he tied a career high, right? 9 sacks was his career high. He tied that. Folks, they've only played 9 games. That front is they're doing some great things. I love the relationship that they have, too. You see Jeffrey Simmons just light up when he was asked about Danico Autry and call him his dog and that Mississippi State Bulldog guys, you know, and just give him credit for actually being someone that could not only teach him but show him. And they're playing alongside each other, and there's a lot of things that he's gained from. So you're seeing an uptick in technique. Terrell Williams, the D-line coach, Mike Vrabel, these guys are talking about the technique that Jeffrey Simmons is playing with better, you know, his pad level, leverage, and those type of things. Those are all important. Did you see when he jacked that left guard back into the quarterback? Did you see that, Elijah? 73?
Oh, where he bullied him. Yeah.
That dude was back. He was backpedaling. And it was like, I felt bad for the dude because it was like, yo, like, that's one of the ones where my old coach, he would turn to him and be like, son, call the 800 number because you just got violated. And that's really what happened. Jeffrey Simmons violated him all the way into Matthew Stafford's lap, and it was a sack.
Almost carried him. Like, almost got him off the ground at some point.
When you see a guy playing with that type of power, you have to understand, like, that's not something that you don't normally see a 300-plus-pound man get walked back like that. So that was an outstanding play. And they're getting sacks. They're getting pressures, right? And they're doing all this without having to blitz. But when they do blitz, you're sending Elijah Molden off the edge. There was a time he beat the right guard. And I'm not talking about like he beat, like, embarrassed him. And he was able to flush Stafford out of the pocket, and Stafford had to scramble to his right, and it ended up being an incompletion. They send David Long when they need to do that. Like, these are all things that are happening, but they don't have to because this front is doing so good. But it's not just the front. As they say, the back end and front end, you know, they're married. That's what I had a conversation with Imani Hooker, and he said it's a perfect marriage between the two, where you have guys who are able to clean up in the back end if the guys up front aren't able to get home. But then you have the guys up front getting home or impacting the quarterback, keeping the quarterback from being able to make a throw that he wants to make with a particular arm angle. These are examples of how this front end and back end is married. Then you got the second level. Jayon Brown, he had a nice physical tackle in the second quarter. David Long is playing out of his mind. Now, he didn't practice on Wednesday for the Titans. Rashawn Evans did come back on Wednesday. That's not exactly a trade that right now is one that I would make. I think you want David Long. You need to have him in the lineup because he's playing outstanding football. There it is, the smile. I can't say his name without smiling. Literally can't say it. I love watching him play that much. So you want to have him out there, you know, as a Titans fan. But what about the back end? You have Kevin Byard making plays that, you know, they're beyond the scheme, beyond the play call, right? You did pick six, the second touchdown of the game, and made it 14-3. That was pre-snap communication. He said that Jack Rabbit told him, watch out for the quick. Like, when they saw the shift, you know, Stafford stepped back into the shotgun. He made the call, the can-can, as you saw on the video. They knew it was a passing situation. They knew a quick game was coming. They communicated. Now, Stafford should have noticed Byard coming down into that area. He didn't. He locked in. He threw the ball there. Byard swooped in and picked it up. And I have to shout out Jeremy Holt, the trainer, because he posted a video of them working on this exact. It was the move. Everything was basically the exact same. You backpedal a little bit, you sneak down, you fire in, and you snap the ball out of the air for the interception. So Jay Holt, you know, is doing a great job, and obviously Jason Spray. You know, anytime you mention Kevin Byard, you got to mention Jason Spray because he is, his key strength and conditioning coach. So those guys are definitely showing. Now, 5 interceptions, 2 defensive touchdowns. It's time to talk about Kevin Byard. No, not as the best safety in the league. I've already been talking about that. It's time to talk about him as the Defensive Player of the Year candidate. He won the award, Defensive Player of the Month, in October. But you look at this Titans surge of turnovers. Against the Saints this weekend, he has the opportunity to have 3 straight games with an interception. The Titans have 11 turnovers in the last 6 weeks. Kevin Byard is responsible for 4 of them. On one of them, he picked up the football and returned it to the end zone for a touchdown against the Jaguars, which was what? The first score of the game. See, these are the things that you have to look at. All of this is happening without Derrick Henry on the football field. Why? This defense is taking it upon themselves to elevate their game. Now, they're not saying the offense, you know, is terrible or anything like that. They're just saying, hey, look, we know Derrick Henry is not there. We have to step our game up. And that's what you're seeing. Chris Jackson at right corner, you know, he played really well. Now you have to figure out, okay, once Christian Fulton comes back, how are you going to have that rotation? I think Christian Fulton is their best cornerback right now, so he's going to play. But you do want to keep Chris Jackson in the mix. So those are going to be some things to watch. But overall, this defense has extremely, extremely stepped up to the plate with Derrick Henry not being there. Now, what about the offense? Okay. I would say this about the offense. 2 for 2 on fourth downs, 3 for 3 in the red zone. What is the key to their red zone improvement? In my opinion, it's Ryan Tannehill and his legs. The third touchdown, what did they do? And this is without Derrick Henry. They go play action, a hard run fake to the inside. They boot Tannehill to the field side. It's wide open. I turned to Joe Rexroth before the play, and I said, this is what I would do. I'm going to play fake. I'm booting him to the field side. It's going to be a touchdown. Sure enough, they did that. You know, and I'm no offensive coordinator, but I just, you know, just in looking at the situation and knowing what teams expect the Titans to do, even with Adrian Peterson and Deontay Foreman, McNichols out there instead of Derrick Henry, that was the perfect play call. Perfect play call. So yardage-wise, yeah, 195 total yards. That left a lot to be desired. They're not going to win a lot of games like that, right? You're not going to always get a touchdown and set up for another touchdown by your defense. It's not going to happen all the time. But that being said, the offense needs to step up. A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, these guys are going to have to elevate their game. Not that they haven't been playing well. You know, Julio Jones has been playing solid, can be better, right? This isn't what the Titans necessarily signed up for. We'll be honest about it. At some point, you're going to need to see what they signed up for, especially now without Derrick Henry. A.J. Brown, these tougher matchups, these are the ones, right? This weekend, you got Marshawn Lattimore. Now, he's not the same type of talker as Jalen Ramsey, but he does talk some stuff, and he will – it's not always talking. Like, he will lock up with you, and he's going to talk to you that way, have a physical conversation with you. How are you going to respond? I want to see how A.J. Brown responds to – Marshawn Lattimore, because that's going to be a matchup to watch. I want to see how they get Deontay Foreman more involved. I personally think he ran the ball the best out of those guys, you know, that committee. But don't forget about McNichols and that screen game. This Saints defense, they're fast. Demario Davis is blowing stuff up. Marcus Davenport, excellent player up front. David Onyemata, Cam Jordan is one of the best at his position. Malcolm Jenkins, a very strong player. Marcus Williams at safety. You know, these guys are able to make things happen. So you're going to need to mix more than just the run, because it's, I'm not going to say impossible, but it's very difficult to run a football against this team. But you have to stick to it. Why? Because the play-action passing game, that's the bread and butter of your passing game. So you have to at least give the threat of runs so that these linebackers will take that step forward. You play action right behind them. However, I think really this is one of those games where Tannehill needs to elevate as well. I'm using the word elevate over and over again because it's directly correlated to not having your MVP. Derrick Henry's the MVP of this team. He's not there. So what does everybody has to elevate their game? And that's what is going to have to happen in order for them to not only beat the Saints, but to carry out what it is their mission was, you know, from the start. And now their mission, in my opinion, is to get deep into the postseason, believe that Derrick Henry could come back, and now you got some stuff cooking. Now you got some stuff cooking. So we'll see how that continues to pair out. I think the Titans beat the Saints. I'm not going to give you the score. You have to go on ESPN.com, see my prediction for that. But I think the Titans beat the Saints. We still don't know, you know, situationally what's going to happen. It's a reuniting, right? Trevor Siemian going against his former team. Jack Rabbit Jenkins going against his former team. Adrian Peterson going again. He said, I didn't sign up for 9, right? The limited carry. So there's a lot going on. I'm looking forward to watching this. We're going to go ahead and pay these bills. We'll be right back with Chris Sanders.
Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD. you.
Fresh. Here it go. All right, back from the break. Talking with TD, you know the segment. You heard that. Hey, listen, Derrick Henry lives on this segment. You better believe it. You better believe it. This is Derrick Henry, and you're talking with TD. That's right. What's up, man?
Man, what's good? How you doing, bro? What's the word?
Hey, I'm going to tell you the word. The music faded away. The lights are dimming. Do you hear the music? We're going to take it back here. And now, starting for your Houston Rockets at center, number 50, Ralph Sampson.
Hey, you know what's funny? I was getting ready to use that, man. But now, he's the number one hurler in the world and was in the 1986 Olympics. Edwin Moses.
Oh, man. Stop it. Man, stop it. What's going on?
Man? What's up with these Titans, man?
Hey, you know what? Woo. I think let's talk. Yes. Let's talk. Why? Well, we'll start it off with the rushing attack.
Yeah.
No Derrick Henry. Obviously, it's going to be different. You know, this man still, I believe, is Derrick Henry the league leader in rushing yards?
Still.
By 116 yards.
That's crazy.
Good gracious.
Ain't even play.
They're still leading. That lets you know. But obviously, it's going to be different without him. Right. However, we still saw the Titans stick to the run and run the football, maybe not effectively, but run the football enough to be able to work some things off of it. Obviously, not an outstanding showing if you look at the yards and those type of things. But I think 3-for-3 in the red zone is definitely something that you don't scoff at, right? That's an outstanding thing. But from your perspective, you know, seeing Deontay Foreman, seeing who changed his number, by the way, he's number 7 now. Seeing Adrian Peterson and then seeing Jeremy McNichols, the distribution of labor, we'll use the economy terms here. How do you like how that was executed?
I thought it was good. I think sometimes, you know, TD, we've been spoiled because we had a chance to see Derrick Henry, one of the greatest backs of all time. So we're used to seeing those explosive plays, and we're used to seeing him getting those 76-yard touchdowns. But if you look at some of the runs that McNichols had and Peterson had and Foreman had, even though they wasn't really explosive, they were still moving the chains. See, the thing about it is even though you have different players in there, you're still getting the same results. You're moving the chains, and you're still the defense still has respected runs. So I know we didn't have those big plays that we're accustomed to seeing, but at the end of the day, you're still getting the same results, kind of like what you said, 3-for-3 in the red zone. So that's a plus for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the big thing to focus on because, you know, at the end of the day, those home runs, the 76-yard run against the Bills, you know, they are energy-changing type of
plays.
So you can't just say that, you know, they'll just smoothly move past it. But now you have to find ways to manufacture points, which leads me to the defense. When you look at this defense, right, and how directly correlated they were to the first two scores, what are you seeing from them?
You know, I went back and watched the film again because I know everybody's saying the same thing. Oh, they're making plays and they're in the right position. But look at what last year was. Last year they had guys out and guys were out of position. But they're a faster defense, man. This defense is so fast. You got Bud Dupree. You got Autry. You got Simmons, who's a grown man. You got Landry. You got Tart. You got all these guys that are explosive, but they're also fast. And the thing about it is it's not just one guy. I mean, it's all guys making plays. I mean, look at the stunt that they had when Simmons made the twist or stunt or whatever you want to call it. Came around and got the quarterback. I mean, that's a big old dude with that much power coming around and making a sack. It just shows you everybody's in position, but also it's a faster defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with that speed on defense, it's also because they're confident and they're comfortable and they're understanding. So it's always easier. I use the analogy of when I first drove here to the studio. Right? Yeah. The first time it took me about 15 minutes. Now I'm making it consistently in like 8. Why? Right. Because I know where I'm going. I have a good comfort level of how to get here. And it's no different on the football field. So you're seeing that from Kevin Byard, right? You're seeing that from Christian Fulton, who was designated to return. You're seeing that from a lot of these guys. T.R. Tart, the improvement that he's made. But for me, the thing that I think really stands out so much is just the way, and I talked to Imani Hooker about this on Wednesday, just the way they're marrying the back end and the front end. You got really good coverage on the back end, which gives those guys a little bit of extra time to get home. But then these guys are getting home, and if they're not getting home, they're getting their hand up. And one of the good examples was, you know, Jack Rabbit Jenkins, you know, he was somewhat beaten on a slant. I mean, slant is just like that's just almost a gimme. Let's face the facts. Yeah. But he was kind of beaten on that, and Autry was able to get his hand up and knock it down. So you see both sides helping each other.
But you know what's beautiful about this whole thing that we're looking at on defense is the coaches trust the players. Mm-hmm. I mean, did you hear what Byers said? He said, I wasn't even supposed to be there, and I got the interception. If I do that as a wide receiver, I'm getting yanked out because I'm supposed to be at the right position at the right time and run my correct route. But it was something that Byers saw. It was something that he saw in field. It was something that he consistently had in his mind. He said when the quarterback turned his shoulders, I immediately went to that guy.
Yeah.
Now, when you're telling your coach that, and your coach said, hey, great job, you do what you do, he's basically said, I trust you, I may not understand it, I want you in this position, but if you're making plays, I believe in you and I trust you. Why? Because you're a leader of that defense.
And to your point, I specifically asked Coach Rabel about the freedom to the autonomy. You know, I use my, you know, my Scrabble words. I asked him about having the autonomy to be able to do that, you know what I mean? And he said that he encourages, like, it's fine as long as you go make the play. And then I think when you look at just what happened there, the conversation with Jack Rabbit Jenkins, you know, that he's going to need to cover over top. And that's the second time that happened, because the interception against the Colts, you had Rabbit helping out over top on that one too. So you're seeing those guys come together and good things coming out of it. So obviously being able to freelance and having that trust from your coach is something that builds your confidence even more. But one of the guys that didn't have the trust, the confidence from his coach is Josh Reynolds.
Yeah.
You heard the news. What do you make of that?
I mean, I kind of figured that, you know, and I respect his skill set. I respect what he does, because I'm not saying that negative, but I just got to, you know, say what I see is he was no different from Fitzpatrick. He was no different from Johnson. He was no different from those other guys, because if you look at the preseason, he was consistently hurt, number one. If you're not available, you can't play. Number two, in preseason, you had zero catches, zero touchdowns, and 0 yards. And then you get in the game against the Jets, and you have a chance to catch a long ball to solidify this team to say, okay, now we have a legitimate deep threat. You drop the ball. So if you're not making plays, you're not available, and you're hurt, that's a bad recipe. That you're going to be off this team. And it's sad that you see this, because I think that if Julio Jones wasn't here, they were relying on him to come in and make some plays. But I just saw him doing drills and saw him doing some things. It just, as a defensive back, that doesn't scare me.
Yeah, and it's just a mixture of things. You know, the health part of it that you mentioned. And then you have guys, and this is something that I posted on Twitter, where you had an emergence of Chester Rogers and Marcus Johnson. And naturally, I mean, there are just people out there that just want to just completely, like go against anything that's said. You know what I mean? So naturally, you know, I had people say, well, you know, he's not producing. Neither of those guys are producing. So they never really, you know, showcase, or it doesn't really matter. It actually does matter, because who was active and who wasn't on game day? You know what I mean? And I think you have to look at context is so key to everything, right? And I think, you know, the fact that Marcus Johnson doesn't have 10 catches or Chester Rogers doesn't have 300 yards receiving, that has nothing to do with the fact that they've emerged to a point where this coaching staff trusts them to be on the field ahead of Josh Reynolds.
I know. That's, I mean, you made a great point, TD. The receiver coach, Rob Moore, and the offensive coordinator, Todd Downing, trust those guys more than they trust Reynolds. Because I'm going to give you an illustration. When Julio was hurt, in your mind, you're thinking, okay, Josh Reynolds is about to come in. He was inactive.
Yep.
I mean, what does that tell you? If you're inactive and they need a receiver, but then they put Johnson up there and they put Chester Rogers out there and they don't put you in there and they got you in the offseason, I knew that was written on the wall that you know, at the end of the day, he's going to request for a trade or he's out of there.
Yeah, and that Colts game, right? You know, Nick Westbrook and Kenny, he's also emerged. So you have guys that have literally leapfrogged him. I mean, because remember, at one point, you know, Josh Reynolds was considered to be the one. I mean, I would imagine he didn't just make it up, right? He said that he was coming there to make up for the loss, you know, replace Corey Davis and you know, hold that role. Like, I would imagine that was the conversation. Like, he's not just going to make it up. So at one point, you know, he was expected to be the quote-unquote number two. He was degraded to the number five. And not even that, number six, because Racy McMath was active over.
That's it. See, that's just a recipe of you not being here. It's not that, and it's just my opinion. I just think that, you know, when you have two or three receivers that are basically the same, the guy that they're going to keep is a guy that's been consistent in making plays. So if you look at in the preseason, who was consistent? Johnson. Who was consistent? Chester Rogers.
Yep.
Who was consistent? All the other guys. But who was inconsistent? Reynolds. Who wasn't on the field? Reynolds. Who didn't have any catches? Reynolds. Who didn't have any touches? Reynolds. Who didn't have any yards? Reynolds.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like Reynolds, man, at the end of the day, what? It's a wrap.
And the other thing that's really interesting, and anytime he was asked, you know, anybody asked the coaches about him, one of the things that they first said was playing without the football, blocking. And, you know, no block, no rock. You know, that's the mindset. So you have to understand that blocking is important. And I remember a play, actually, I think it was A.J. Brown got blown up on one of those screens where Reynolds was supposed to block. But speaking of A.J. Brown, did you hear his comments after the game about Ramsey?
Oh, they don't like each other, man.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. He had been looking forward to that matchup for quite some time. Because as a rookie, he felt Jalen Ramsey got the best of him.
Yeah.
You know, so he had been looking for some redemption there. But I love the dog, and I love the comments.
I do, too.
Who was the corner? Like, he's that one guy where everybody's like, man, you know what? Like, he really, like, has some ways with him. Who was the corner for you back from your playing days?
I think it was Dale Carter.
Why was I about to ask you if it was Dale Carter?
Yeah, Dale Carter, man. He would talk a lot of stuff, and, you know, he would try to talk about my technique, and he would try to take you out of your game. But what I did is I'm just going to each other two touchdowns. Let's call it a day. I mean, that's how you got to do it.
So no rap, just rocking.
Just rock. Yeah, hey, let me tell you something. If I would love to go against Jalen Ramsey. I would love to. I actually coached against him. I coached at Montgomery Bet Academy. He was at Brentwood Academy with my son. I actually coached against him. I watch him. He's one of those corners that he watches your hips and he watches your shoulders. So what I would do with him is every route that I run, I would lie with my eyes and he'll bite on it. I will eat his stinking lunch.
Mm. There you have it right there.
I'm not saying that to be cocky or anything, because I'm going to tell you something. The reason why A.J. Brown dropped those two balls is because he was focusing on wanting to fight Jalen Ramsey. If he would have just stayed with his technique, he would have ate his lunch because, why? He was open.
And he didn't have technique on that one outbreaking route on third down.
Terrible.
The hands were not correctly positioned. So, yeah, you're right about that. So, but it's crazy that despite all that, this team beat the Rams, man. They're 7-2. They have the best record in the AFC, second best in the league. You got the Cardinals, you know, ahead of everybody. But I think this game is going to be another test for them still.
Yeah.
Even though this Saints team is, you know, not with their starting quarterback. So what's your prediction here? Let's hear it.
I think it's going to be a close game, but I think the Tennessee Titans are going to win, because the one thing that I'm just a little concerned about is, you know, just like you said, our running game, and we got to put some points on the board, because at the end of the day, we can't keep relying on our defense to score touchdowns, because what happens if Tannehill throws a pick six or they fumble the ball and the New Orleans Saints get up 21-0? How are the Tennessee Titans going to respond? So that's kind of the things that I want to see. Now, if that happens and they come back and win, then I'm going to be a complete believer. But at the end of the day, if the Tennessee Titans keep doing with their defense and their offense catch-ups with their defense, they're awesome on special teams, this is a dangerous, dangerous team.
There you have it right there. Chris Sanders giving you what you want. Nah, not what you want. What you need.
Like a Michael Jackson song.
Yeah.
Gotta get on a good foot. So when we gonna get to the good part, get down to the good now. There it is.
Check you out. Hey, now all you need is a cup and somebody flip their change.
There you go. There you go, man. Well, I appreciate you, boss, man.
Hey, man, appreciate you always, man. Good time.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. I know this artist is a Packers fan, but he's from New Orleans, so it's only right we play his music because we have my ESPN NFL Nation teammate, Mike Triplett, covering the New Orleans Saints. Mike, what's going on, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Tron?
Hey, man, I'm doing awesome. I really appreciate you coming on. I know there's a lot in flux. There's so many things that could happen between now and game day. So we'll kind of navigate through all that. But I guess first and foremost, I just want to know from you just how this team is different this year without Drew Brees at quarterback.
Well, honestly, Tron, the biggest change isn't necessarily Drew Brees. They had started to transition, even in Brees' final year, to being more of a defense and run game and offensive line being the strengths of these teams. Drew Brees didn't have his best year last year, and he admitted he was banged up and suffering from injuries. Mm-hmm. But then you go through this year, Michael Thomas doesn't come back. Jameis Winston starts out as sort of almost like a supporting cast member on this team, throwing a lot of touchdowns, but very few attempts. And then now Jameis Winston suffers the season-ending ACL tear, so it's down to Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill at quarterback. So this team is more like what people are used to seeing from the Titans, honestly. They're going to go as far as their run game and their defense take them, and they don't mind winning ugly. They're not out here winning track meets.
So with the status of Alvin Kamara, we don't know what's going to happen there. Are they actually in tow to be able to have Mark Ingram and Dwayne Washington just kind of be the feature backs?
Well, thank goodness they signed Mark Ingram. Because up until Mark Ingram came here, Alvin Kamara was the entire offense.
Yeah.
The receivers have been a real issue all year. Which is why who knows if Odell Beckham Jr. will be a Saint by the time we get around to game day. I know they're in the mix there, but Alvin Kamara was just a couple weeks ago he had 30 touches and almost single-handedly beat the Seahawks, and so he needed some help. So if Kamara is limited or misses time, Mark Ingram has a real spring in his step. Obviously knows this offense, can run it, can catch it. So that's a good fail-safe to have, but it's losing Kamara is a problem for a team that is just so low on offensive playmakers this year.
No doubt about it. And you look at just what this team has done along the offensive line. I mean, you mentioned it, how they've made that shift. I mean, you have numerous first-rounders, you got second-rounder. Eric McCoy is one of my favorite centers in the game, by the way. Really loved him coming out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just having that Throckmorton, McCoy, Ruiz, that guard-center-guard tandem is really good. And obviously Armstead and Ramchick. How has that transition been, though? As far as going from that team that is more of a finesse team to a physical team, how's that shift in mindset been for them?
Well, there's sort of two answers to that question. One is that mindset has been shifting gradually. Ever since 2017, I would say this latest run where they've won the last four NFC South titles in a row. They've become a lot more run heavy, and their defense has been really, really good. It's the number one run defense in the NFL over that stretch. I think it's back to being the number one run defense for this season alone. Would have been fascinating to watch them go up against Henry because they just give up nothing to running backs. And teams don't even bother trying to run against them. So that's what they've been for a few years now. So that transition has been, smooth and gradual. What was so interesting was when they had Jameis Winston at quarterback, because he could throw that deep ball. He threw 14 touchdown passes in his short time playing quarterback, and he was hitting 72-yarders, 55-yarders, Hail Mary, which had kind of gone missing from this team. But, meanwhile, he's not throwing it to the running backs and the tight ends and throwing the slant passes. So their passing offense really changed. Now we don't even really know what their long-term plan is between Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill, but if it's Trevor Siemian, it becomes a lot more of a traditional offense, I think. Yeah. More slants, more checkdowns to the running backs, more throws to tight ends come back into play, and maybe less of the home run shots. And then obviously if it's Taysom Hill, it's a completely different offense with him at quarterback, or if he has a package of plays. He's so different than anyone else. So it's a constantly evolving offense right now.
Yeah, and it's interesting what they do. You know, Sean Payton, I love his play design. That's actually one of the things I featured in my whiteboard video. It was a low red zone combination where they had Deontay Harris in the backfield, Alvin Kamara at wide receiver, and Taysom Hill at one of the slots, and just what they did with those guys, yeah, with Tre'Quan Smith and Marquez Callaway. So I think, you know, when you look at how many different directions they could go, it's really interesting because it seems like they do that all within one game. So that's obviously something for the
– That's always been his specialty. I mean, back when they were leading the league with, you know, routinely throwing for over 5,000 yards a year, you would see 18 different personnel groupings and alignments in the first half while he's just sitting there trying to figure out how you want to guard everything and then figuring out where he can attack you.
It's crazy. And we're talking to Mike Triplett, ESPN, NFL Nation Saints reporter. You touched on the defense a little bit, so let's further that. David Onyemata, Marcus Davenport. I joke with him. I call him Big Little Cuz. There's no relation, but, you know, the last name's the same. Cam Jordan, I mean, these guys up front, that front four is actually something to watch. Carl Granderson's a guy that I liked coming out of Wyoming. You know, Tano Passanio out of Villanova. I mean, it seems like this line, Peyton Turner is another one. So what's going on with this line? How dangerous are they really capable of being?
Well, their pass rush has not been that great this year. It's actually been one of the shortcomings of the team. They've gotten healthier, though. Onyemata was suspended for the first six games of the season, and Davenport missed a good chunk of the season at defensive end with an injury. So they're getting healthier now. The pass rush had started to really finally started to emerge until this last game. They got no pressure on Matt Ryan and really had an uncharacteristic struggle there. But in general, the pass rush has always been really good from that group. The run defense, incredible. Like all these big guys you're talking about, Cam Jordan, 6'4", Marcus Davenport, I think 6'5", Tano might be 6'7", David Onyemata is a big guy. And then you got to throw the linebackers in the mix. Demario Davis, one of the best linebackers in the entire NFL.
Yeah.
Pete Werner's been a really good draft pick for them. Quan Alexander they added last year. So their front seven, you know, it has been really, really, really good, especially against the run. But, you know, with some coverage ability too. They just need a little bit more consistent pass rush, and that becomes the strength of their team, that defensive front seven.
But Demario Davis, in my opinion, is one of the most underrated players in the game. Like, I think when you look at him
– No question.
Right, and you actually watch him play, this is a guy who arguably is as good as any other linebacker in the game. What is it?
I completely agree, and he's 32 years old, and he's played his best football like since 29 and older. It's startling. He's everything for this team right now. He's the guy who leads the pregame chants that Drew Brees used to lead. He's a captain. He's a leader, emotional force, playmaking force. I mean, he's really sort of become the identity of this team. Him and Alvin Kamara are the co-MVPs right now.
And how much has Malcolm Jenkins been able to come in, like come back to New Orleans and kind of influx his leadership?
Yeah, leadership, because it's otherwise a pretty young group back there, a real talented group with, you know, obviously Marshawn Lattimore, one of the best corners in the game, and then young safeties and Marcus Williams and C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who are real talented players. And Malcolm Jenkins has kind of brought that, you know, veteran leadership for a young, talented group. And they've been really good in the secondary for the most part, but just a couple blips on the radar, including obviously letting that final seconds of that Atlanta game get away from them last week.
Yeah, yeah, that's just – you look at their record, right, and you know, a victory over the Packers to start it off, and then you got a quality Patriots win, Seattle, Tampa, those are all really – really good wins. I mean, why is this team like just so topsy-turvy, like so up and down?
It's crazy. Yeah, their wins 38-3 over the Packers,
right,
too. Their wins over the best teams, their loss. It's funny, we have to do our predictions, you know, every week for ESPN, and my reasoning was I was going to pick the Saints because I was like, well, every time they're the underdog, they win. If they're the favorites, they lose. But, I mean, they're just walking a tightrope now. I mean, part of it started – in the off season, with the reduced salary cap, really hurt this team because they play with fire with the salary cap and manage that thing as close to the edge as they can. And when you know $30 million got taken out of the cap this year, they lost so many key players. One of them was Janoris Jenkins, who was a reliable starter for them. Although they've actually done better than expected at that number two corner spot without him. But the one they've really lost, Emmanuel Sanders, you know, they lost three guys along the defensive line in Trey Hendrickson and Malcolm Brown and Sheldon Rankins. And, you know, it's just a team that lost a lot of its depth. They still have their, like, top 10 star players, but you know, that 10 through, you know, the 10th best player through the 20th best player, they really got gutted there. So, you know, they're playing with a paper-thin margin, and when they're not at their best and you know, when they drop it for a week, they get exposed. So they're walking the tightrope, but obviously still tons of talent on this team.
So what would you say are reasons for Titans fans to be concerned about this game? Because, you know, quote-unquote, the murderer's row is supposedly over of the schedule. But I always included this Saints team in that murderer's row of the schedule. So why is it that, you know, Titans fans should be concerned and not take this one for granted?
Yeah, I mean, look, if the Saints held on to leads with a minute to go at home against the New York Giants and Atlanta Falcons, they'd be 7-1 right now. And I think a lot of people would put them in a murderer's row. But obviously, that 7-1 record would have been a little misleading. 5-3 is probably a little bit more what they are. But it's just a reminder of what this team's capable of. 10 days ago, with Trevor Siemian at quarterback, they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Right.
I think it's how well rounded they are. Like I said, every level of the defense has studs on it. If Alvin Kamara is playing, Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, so good, one of the most talented offensive lines in the league. I think the problem is the Saints are really good at all the areas that are less flashy, and where they're struggling is the flashy areas. You know, the passing offense, and you know, 31st ranked passing offense in the league. So, but if they can, you know, if they can get down in the mud and try to win a game based on things like time of possession and third down percentage and red zone percentage and turnover ratio, they win a lot of games that way.
Yeah, it's a pack and play style of a team that they have, and that's something I say about the Titans a lot. And you saw the pack and play last week against the Rams, so you're definitely spot on there. What do you have going on this week? Any special projects or anything like that in regards to Saints Titans or just Saints overall?
Yeah, the focus is going to be on the passing game. Obviously, I'm on Odell watch, and I'll be writing all about how Odell fits with the Saints if he joins them. If he doesn't, it's going to be like, all right, where does this team go from here? Because, you know, Odell Beckham's not walking through the door. Michael Thomas isn't walking back through the door. How do they make it work?
There you have it. Well, Mike, I really appreciate it. You already know what to do when you get up here, man. Just give me a call. We'll figure some things out, man. I look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Yeah, you too, man. Thanks for having me.
Take it easy. So that was Mike Triplett. Always appreciate talking shop with him. I'm just amazed, Elijah. I made it through that segment and didn't touch on fantasy football. That's the fantasy football guy right there. And we didn't touch on it, but it's all good. You could check out his work on ESPN.com. I appreciate Chris Sanders coming on, man. Had some good conversation there, talking Josh Reynolds and just talking shop overall. I love his comments about Jalen Ramsey. That was really interesting. Elijah, excellent job from you on here. Folks, make sure you check out Whiteboard Wednesday. Broke down a low red zone play from the Saints. We got multiple things up there on ESPN.com, the Titans page. That defense had to write about him this week, so make sure you tune into that as well. I am your host, Teron Davenport. I appreciate each of you for rocking with me tonight. Thanks for tuning in. God bless and good night.